Hey, in this podcast, we talk about the show Hey Dude, which ran from 1989 to 1991 on Nickelodeon. It's a great show, and if you want to watch it along with us while we discuss it, you can find it on Paramount Plus or get it on Amazon or iTunes or wherever, I think, now. Probably still on VHS somewhere. You don't have to watch along with us, but it's a lot of fun if you do. Also, sometimes we say some naughty words on this podcast, so audience discretion is advised.
I had to do things for work today where I click stuff, then I look around for a thing that matches, and then I click it, and then I click a bunch, and then I save it, and then I do it again.
It's like Severance?
Yeah, basically. Like 300 times.
I'm pretty sure you just described the job of the people in Severance.
Yes, that show is deep on so many levels. Yeah, that's basically what I did today. And I don't mind it for most of the time because I listen to Bonkers podcast.
About what?
So there's a series that's on. I'm started the third season, but it's called Lost Hills. And it's true crime podcast that takes place. They all take place in Malibu. And it's really interesting to learn about Malibu in the 80s and such.
Fun.
Yes, Malibu sounds buck wild.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
I love you and your face, and it's really nice to be together.
I love you and your face.
Yeah.
I don't really remember what we watched because it was a while ago.
It was a long time ago.
I was still 39.
You were so young then.
I was still 39. I can't even. Oh, man.
Who were you even? Who have you become, moreover? So, do you want to do a podcast?
I kind of do. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I would like to begin the podcast this way. And, like, I understand if you don't want to do it this way, but I wanted to try something new.
Okay.
I don't know if I can do it.
I like it so far.
It's so dumb.
Okay.
I don't think I can do it. Okay. Howdy, Panda.
No, I can't.
It's a podcast.
Come again, that was Howdy Podner. Podna?
It doesn't work.
Howdy Podna.
But I thought I would give it a try.
You gotta try things on sometimes.
I'm sobbing.
Put those pants on, see if you can zip them up. Sometimes you can. Sometimes your butt just hangs right out.
Okay, well, that was emotional.
You are my Podna.
Yeah.
Is it Podna no better... or Podner?
I've tried it both ways.
Uh-huh.
Neither's good. It can be whichever one feels less bad in your mouth, but they both feel pretty bad.
Podner. Okay. Yeah, Podner. It's, you know what? There have been worse things.
Podner.
Podner sounds like the last name of a guy who is like running the ship's comms in the future.
Well, here we are.
You're Jess and I'm T, and we podcast together on this very here show called Gay Dude.
It's a Hey Dude Rewatch podcast. This week's episode is called Killer Ernst.
Mm-hmm.
It aired on June 8th, 1990. Remember what you were doing that day?
If that was a weekend, which it probably wasn't, this was a weekday show?
Yeah.
Then never mind. I have no idea what I was doing.
Did school let out in June back then? Would it have been about the time school got out?
Yeah. You know what? I bet we got out about a week later. I feel like we got out the second week of June. What about you?
That sounds right.
Yeah. June 8th? That was a Friday night, baby. I was probably watching Golden Girls.
Probably watching Golden Girls with your whole family.
And obviously watching this. first.
And clearly that was also the day that the Norwegian oil tanker Megaborg suffered an explosion while undergoing operations in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep. I was going to say.
I don't know why we don't say remember the Megaborg every June 8th.
The Megaborg and Captain Podner.
Yep. are we writing a new show? Is this where Hey Dude spinoff cycle 2?
Mm-hmm. Well, who knows? Maybe Zoom is writing it for us right now.
True. It was the very last day of the Gary Shandling show.
Oh.
I really liked that show.
Me too. Brandon and I watched that whole thing when we were living in Chicago. We'd watch it every night. You know, obviously reruns. We weren't living in Chicago in 1990.
No.
Though that would have been a great time to be in Chicago. And yeah, I really liked that show. That was where Sarah Silverman got started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and hooray for her.
Hooray for her.
Well, this episode was, do you want to hear the synopsis?
Yeah, I was going to ask you to tell me about it.
Well, the synopsis goes like this. Mr. Ernst becomes a professional wrestler when he tries to take on Captain Lou Albano to keep from losing the ranch's money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. This episode was written by Mark Cerulli and directed by Ross Bagwell.
Oh, remind me, what did Mark Cerulli write?
Oh, Mark Cerulli wrote another one that we saw in this season.
Yeah. Can't remember what it was. We hadn't heard from him before, and now we've heard from him again. So maybe.
Well, he's best known for Area of 5150, which is coming out this year, and also Halloween Unmasked.
Oh.
And the By Design, the Joe Karoff story. That was what I was excited about when we looked him up.
Hmm.
But he did 5 episodes of Hey Dude. Oh, and the first one was episode 9 of season 1, which we have not. That was Rain Men.
Oh, whoa, Mark.
Yeah. Oof. And he did Dueling Ranches.
Ah, yes.
Just a few episodes ago with the
Vleck.
Vic Fleck.
So Mark Cerulli has kind of a vibe of very loud and aggressive men.
Yeah.
To come and yell at Mr. Ernst.
He's also in charge of season 4, episode 1 and episode 10. They're back in Doghouse Blues.
They're back is when the Vlecks come back, but we're going to have to find that one on DVD.
Yeah.
For some reason, they don't stream it, and I'm not sure why. I think it might be maybe because some of the Vlecks, which we got a taste of, are inappropriate toward the girls. Huh. But I'm not sure.
Maybe we'll just have to have a special bonus pack of very special episodes, like once we come back to Rain Man also.
Are they all going to be Mark Cerulli episodes?
I wonder. Oh, Mark.
Well, Jessica. We watched this one as a family.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it coming on and I thought, hey, you know who would like this one? A 5-year-old. A 5-year-old little boy who likes to wrestle.
Yeah.
The problem is we were a little nervous because we've never actually let him watch wrestling because he already likes to wrestle so much and we don't need to reinforce that habit.
Yeah.
But I do think this one held his attention. Tell me about who you watched it with.
Well, I... watched it with my mom and my sister Chrissy and my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
At least I tried to watch it with those people, but
and they're ranging in ages from like 39 to mid 70s. Yes.
Yeah.
Not correct. 5.
No.
Okay.
No. And my sister Chris, who is in her mid 50s, she at about the 7-minute mark said, quote, "I can't believe this was broadcast." And my mom tapped out at 8 minutes and 44 seconds.
Ooh.
She does not like slapstick.
No, this one was not a great one for your mom. And I would imagine for Chris too.
Yeah, you couldn't really order up an episode that would be less their alley.
Yeah. Way.
But you know, was talking to my mom about slapstick, which is going to take us to etymology, Corral.
Do you want to go there now?
Yeah, I do want to go there now because I had to look up whether there was a literal slapstick or not. And turns out in Commedia dell'arte in 16th century Italy, there was a noisemaker that made a sound like a slap. And that was your slapstick. And it was a crucial element in like Punch and Judy.
Oh,
and like they had a slapstick. It lasted until relatively recently.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like we had one. You know, I was in band in middle school and high school, and when the holiday season would come around, and we would play sleigh ride. At the end, there's a horsewhip crack sound, and there is a musical little clapboard type of instrument.
It's very similar to that.
I'm interested to see a picture of the actual slapstick.
Well, let me Google. You're gonna have to use your Googles.
All right, hang on. That's it then. That's the whole etymology, is it's just the thing that it was, and then it got associated with the kind of thing it was used in. Is that right?
Correct.
Cool. Thanks for that little detour.
Thank you for coming with me. So I clearly had to watch the episode again later on my own.
I watched it last Wednesday. So this will be a little bit like seeing it all over again for the first time, because I've forgotten a lot of it. But I do have my notes here. So when you're ready, I'm ready to get into it.
Do you want to talk a little bit about who Lou Albano is?
I do.
Well, I know a couple of things. I know he was born in 1933, which made him 71 years old when this was filmed.
It's crazy, right?
Oh my God.
I Googled on him too, because I didn't realize. Again, I watched this as a family and I'm watching it and Brandon's like, oh yeah, that was real. That was a guy. That was Captain Lou. What? And then so I had to Google about him too. And that's when I realized he was actually like a manager at this point, because he had been done wrestling for a while.
Yeah. But he not only was like a wrestling personality, but as a manager, he was also kind of a personality that like everybody knew. I didn't know that's how wrestling worked, if that's like a common thing for managers.
I wrote down that he was married for 56 years to his high school sweetheart.
That's wonderful.
How great is that? And he was from Rome, and he was the voice of Mario in the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Ah!
Did you write down any of that?
I didn't write down any of those ones. What I wrote down was about his rubber band signature look. So in this show, he's wearing rubber bands like in his ears as earrings. And I thought that was really weird, but that's like his brand. Oh. It was like, I'm putting rubber bands in my beard and also with a safety pin through my cheek.
Oh, yikes.
Then, so he played Cindy Lauper's dad in the Girls Just Want to Have Fun music video. And so that's how he knew Cindy Lauper, which is, and Jake makes a reference to Cindy Lauper in this episode.
Oh,
and that's because he was also heavily involved in a thing called the Rock and Wrestling Connection.
I saw her name pop up when I was Googling about him, but I didn't realize that. That's true.
Yeah.
He was. I can see the face now kind of in that video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seemed like a really interesting guy.
They had a falling out, though, just for what it's worth.
Oh, no.
I have a note that says, then they fought. Who knows what that
like
means.
Like in the wrestling ring or just, you know, metaphorically?
Oh. They may have fought.
Oh.
In which case, my conjecture in the middle there is extra silly.
Funny. Yeah. I don't know. Let's find that out afterwards, if they just had a falling out or if they wrestled each other.
We'll bring it to the corrections trough.
Okay. That sounds good.
He's known for his quick wit and grating personality.
Oh, he definitely had a grating personality.
Yeah.
I will give him
that.
evidenced in this show.
I did not like it. When we open on Mr. Ernst here in his office, he's got his radio going again. So thankfully that got fixed. And he's listening to wrestling.
Yeah.
And acting it out as he listens. But I didn't know that was something people listened to on the radio. Did you fact check that?
No.
I didn't either. It seems pretty lame.
But what is Mr. Ernst if not lame?
So lame, in fact, that while he was acting out the wrestling that he was listening to, he fell off his chair and messed up his neck.
Yeah.
It's perfect, again, for a five-year-old. Probably not so perfect for your mom.
And yet, she did chuckle at it.
Ooh.
I think it may have been a fake social chuckle.
Oh.
But... Maybe we'll get her on the phone next week.
Yeah, let's get her on the pod.
Yeah.
Ask her about it.
So that was the cold open. And then after the credits, we are in a meeting in the lodge amongst the teens, but Mr. Ernst has decided not to show up.
And Jake's reading a dictionary.
Yeah, he's reading the definition of the word muse. And the etymology of that, it was not interesting.
So Mr. Ernst, when he hurt himself, he was a little nervous about coming into this meeting because he was embarrassed about hurting his neck. And that was the first time I didn't think Mr. Ernst got embarrassed. I didn't realize that was something that could happen to him. But he is here. He put on one of Jake's very short neckties.
Yeah, I think that is Jake's very short necktie from Brainbusters.
Mm.
Mystery comes in here. His neck hurts and he has announced that he wants a big event.
Mm-hmm.
He asks, what's the biggest thing in America? And Melody guesses rock and roll. Somebody else guesses Texas. Somebody else guesses sports. What would you guess? Biggest thing in America.
Oh, the biggest thing in America. I would guess the biggest thing in America, well, right now, it's Taylor Swift, probably. But not back then. She probably wasn't even born.
No,
she was. She was born in 1989, right? Isn't that why she named the thing that?
I don't know my Swift lore. He says the biggest thing in America is pro wrestling.
And he says, I ought to know, I was on the wrestling team in college. And Danny's like, oh, is that like when you were on the baseball team?
Burn.
Which is a sick burn, because we know Danny was super disappointed at how bad Mr. Ernst was at baseball. Mr. Ernst was 112 pounds of pure muscle, and he was the water boy, actually.
Yeah. But they called him Killer Ernst.
Yeah. He tells them about how pro wrestling is this big deal and how it's going to be great because they're going to bring pro wrestling right there to the Bar None Ranch.
Yeah. He's got connections.
He does. To somebody that he met at a Rotary Club breakfast, which was supposed to be nerdy, but now we have a lot of friends who go to Rotary Club breakfast.
Yep.
In fact, some of them probably lead the Rotary Club breakfast. So shout out Rotary.
What's up, Rotary friends? And you know who was at the breakfast was Captain Lou, the sea monster himself, and also the masked marauder.
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
Yeah. So Jake comes up with, he's very concerned about Mr. Ernst's neck problem. And he comes up with a fake Japanese massage called shamusu. I think shamusu was probably capitalizing on Shamu the whale, who was very popular at the time.
Totally. I got splashed by Shamu, you know. I was in the splash zone. Yeah, I sat in the splash. I made my mom sit there with me. Got one little splash, and then I said, well, that's enough. And we got up because it was gross.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
No, can't believe my mom did that.
Yeah, I'm impressed that she would be willing to.
She's just a very nice mom.
But that's the beginning and end of the neck storyline, right?
Well, he fixes his neck with this shamusu. And guess what, Jess? That's going to be chapter 11 of Jake's Guide to Life.
Oh, I'm so excited to read
Japanese massage.
fake Japanese massage. Yeah.
So I don't know what I, because we just today came out with our last episode and chapter 6 of Jake's Guide to Life. And that one is A Sap No More.
Yes.
So I have no idea what's in 7, 8, 9, and 10, but we do know what's in 11 now. Yeah, I want to read this book so bad.
Oh my gosh.
Jonathan Galkin, if you're listening, no, like write it. That would be awesome.
Dude.
I would read it so much.
Yeah.
As would all of us older millennials. We'll all buy it. And you know, there's a lot of us.
Oh my gosh. The graphic novel adaptation of Hey Dude, including the chapters from Jake's Guide to Life.
Oh my God, stop. I want it so bad. And now we just told Zoom and now the AI is going to make it.
Now the AI is going to write it.
Ah, damn it. Except you know what? That's fine. I will read it.
Yeah.
I will read it.
So this idea is a GD hit. Everybody is stoked on it. And they are getting so many phone calls.
They have to get extra phones.
Yeah, like several more lines installed. I'm glad he has a wireless phone, finally. Mm-hmm,
finally.
And the Masked Marauder's costume arrives ahead of time.
Yeah, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why does he need to send the costume ahead of time? It seems like it's a very so small thing. Also, did you notice it came in a box that said SpedEx?
No, that's good prop design.
That's very good. I like
that.
But yeah, I get that the sending the costume ahead of time is probably a pretty important thing to establish for the plot later.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I don't think that would happen. Please, I need to make room for my other items. So I have to send this very small spandex thing ahead of time.
I'm glad for it. It's a nice plot device. And a good little moment before Captain Lou comes in and is Captain Lou Death from Above Cap.
Oh,
his
man.
Hawaiian-ish shirt, hat more than halfway unbuttoned, giant rubber band earring and cross necklace and heavy-duty mustache and curly hair.
He looks so good, so 90s. And my favorite part of this whole scene, aside from his fashion, which you mentioned, is the very 90s jaw drop from all of the teens at the counter on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those like, oh, I call you back sort of moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very good.
We really don't have those anymore, do we?
No, but the cinematography there was really good.
It was. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
What I don't agree with is Brad is back to wearing that really ugly cactus enamel bolo tie.
If you had that, you would wear it too.
Well, naturally, but I am nowhere as cool and fashionable as Brad is.
That's true. We're back to hair tie watch too. She's got several again.
Mm-hmm.
So now I do see what I thought his earrings were weird. They are the rubber band things you're talking about. This guy is a jerk.
Yeah, he is bonkers. He eats rocks and raw meat and raw hides, and he needs somebody to call him every 20 minutes to wake him up so that he is a grump.
Yeah. And this is what my notes say, and I don't remember why. I think, yeah. He asked where the whirlpool was, and they had to say they don't have one, but Jake and Danny, and Brad says Jake and Danny can get in the pool and kick around a little bit. But I thought, now this, we've seen Jake make a whirlpool before. This would be the time to do it.
Yeah, to get Jake's spa back up.
Yeah, I think Jake's spa would actually work out really well for Captain Lou here.
Absolutely. And also just like to, as a side note, make sure that everybody knows that the mailman's name is Patrick.
That's what I was just going to tell you. That's your trivia, everyone.
Do you know who else's name is Patrick?
My cat.
That's the truth. That's trivia number two of the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was that it? Was that the answer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's my cat's name. Okay.
I think that this episode really just took off and went speeding by without me able to even take nary a note.
I think that must be true. This is the part, and now in the next scene, when Mr. Ernst and Cat and Lou are walking up. It's outside. They've got the big wrestling ring. And I guess this is where Mr. Ernst lets him know that, like, there's not going to be any press there. I can understand why this professional wrestler would be a little bit frustrated at that. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's a rotary bro.
Yeah. And also, Mr. Ernst seems like, you know, he would want the coverage.
Right.
Because that's how you get customers. Like, you get the word out on the news. And
it's really idiotic. And Mr. Yeah. Ernst is not good at business.
No, no. Not great at all.
Okay. He's got quite the vibe here.
Yeah, it's like a little bit Gallagher, little bit mobster. Are you still allowed to say mobster?
I have no idea.
I don't want to get in trouble with any mobsters.
Yeah, you sure don't. He is going to reach in and tear out Mr. Ernst's spleen and dance all over it. Which seems mean.
It does. But also, I went to a club in Florence, Italy every night for a week called Spleen and danced. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's a great name for a club.
It really was.
He storms off from Mr. Ernst. He's pretty mad. And then he goes around and sees Danny and pours Danny a glass of old juice because he likes old juice because it makes him mad.
Yeah. He's a real trip, man.
He likes raw meat and all sorts of terrible stuff.
And he just thinks it's not worth his while. And I think he might be right.
I definitely don't think this is worth his while. Though he doesn't need to be so mean about it.
No.
As he's again yelling at Mr. Ernst, Jake and Brad walk up and they're like, you got to call. You got to take it. You got to take it. And Mr. Ernst is like, no, I can't. Get away from here. I hate this about shows like this, about all shows. I hate it. When somebody comes up and they're like, no, you need to take this. Can you just listen to them and go and take it?
Yeah, right? Gosh, jeezy. Yeah, gotta do it for the plot.
He doesn't take the call. And instead, Jake gets put in a headlock, I guess.
Yeah.
This guy is a jerk.
And this is like one of the... So, remember how Brad was like in the background the whole of the baseball episode? Melody's in the background of this episode. Like, she's there. I don't think she has any speaking lines.
Yeah, she's literally putting her hands up and smiling and not saying any words.
It seems like they work around her quite a bit on this ep. I'm very curious what happened.
It bothers me because she didn't get to take time off of work. She still had to be there. The same as we were saying about Brad. Like... Give her, she's not going to get to do anything. Let her go visit her family or something for the weekend.
Yeah.
I guess, are we at the next scene where
we're back in the office.
Mr. Ernst finds out what Jake was trying to tell him.
Mm-hmm. Which is that the masked marauder isn't showing up.
Yeah. Because his kiln exploded on him.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Yes, I think that would be a very, very bad situation. I don't think he would be able to make phone calls at that point.
Yeah, kilns are very... Well, it wasn't... It was Snidley. Frank Snidley, the promoter who made the call. It wasn't the Masked Marauder himself. But he...
Pretty bad situation, though.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Kilns are very hot. Did you look to see if the Masked Marauder was a real thing?
No. Should we do a little detour?
Yeah.
And he was murdered?
Oh, no.
What? This is way more... Okay, so
Frank Donald Goodish, which is a fantastic last name, wrestled under the names Bruiser Brody, King Kong Brody, The Masked Marauder, and Red River Jack. But he died in 1988. So I'm guessing that this allusion to a Masked Marauder might be like a shout out to this man who was stabbed to death by Jose Gonzalez, who is a Puerto Rican retired professional wrestler.
So it wasn't a kiln explosion.
No, that's not what got him.
Mark Cerulli must be a wrestling fan. Well, the wrestling lore in that world is not something I was ever interested in.
No.
Back to the show.
Okay.
Thank you for that other detour.
Absolutely.
I was curious. They're back in Mr. Ernst's office now, Jake and Mr. Ernst, and he's, you know, crunching things on his calculator as he does, and it doesn't add up. It just is bad news. Whatever he's punching in there, he owes money to Captain Lou, and he's got nobody for him to wrestle, and it's not good.
Yeah.
So
they're just going to have to call off the match and pay Captain Lou, and they're screwed.
They do mention that there's no air conditioning at this ranch, and that is terrible. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
And they better freaking have it now, Jess, because we're going to be going there in a couple of months, and I refuse to be hot at night.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I agree. So Mr. Ernst is practicing his confrontation with Dr. Lou. How he's going to let him down. He's talking to a fence post. Is that right? He's walking along.
I don't know. It seems to be a common theme with this Ernst family that they practice their speeches ahead of time on fence posts. Basically, the gist of this, though, is that Captain Lou is so mad and mean that Jake comes up with a better plan than making this guy even more mad, which is, hey, good thing you already got the costume sent here ahead of time because you can be the wrestler man now.
Mm-hmm. Killer Ernst is the name of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there in the synopsis.
It's exactly what happens.
And then Lou comes up wearing the most beautiful tank top in the whole world. It's a red tank top and it just says pain so in gold on it. And I love it so much. I would like all of his tank tops from the show.
They're very good. And Mr. Ernst does agree. All right, let's give this a shot. And he puts on the sequins face mask. Kind of robber style mask that's red sequins, and then he puts his glasses over the top of it, and I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's a very bad look.
I'm really glad your mom didn't watch this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we cut to a scene where they've got Mr. Ernst exercising. Seems like it's a little bit late to be building your muscles right now. Think the things in like a day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they set up a steeplechase for him.
Mm-hmm. It's a great plan.
Does this at all count? He did the little steeplechase. We didn't see it go down, but when he does go through what presumably, I mean, where are they going to get that amount of water quickly to make a pool for him to jump over hurdle into?
And I think that traditionally a trough is like a hole in the ground,
right?
That is dug. And he definitely has fallen in it.
Definitely fell in it.
Let's call this a trough incident.
Hell yeah. I gotta give credit to my husband on that one. He asked me to ask you if it was trough.
Yeah.
He said trough watch.
The board has ruled.
Thank you. Your Highness, Your Honor, whatever we call you. I agree. I think.
Sorry, the title is Trough Lord.
Trough Lord. But I do agree. It would be hard to keep a horse from drinking that water. You lead one over there, it's going to be like, you know what? I will drink.
Thanks, I will.
Great Thank trough. Not because you made me, but because this is a great trough.
I think I did just confuse the words trough and trench in my head.
Yeah, I think you did too.
But I don't think I care.
I think they're on a time crunch here. They've got to make a trench for the steeplechase. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? You're going to dump out your trough
into trench, which is pretty much the same word as trough.
It's fine. It's a trough. I'm counting it. A horse would totally drink out of that. All right.
Great.
Nailed it.
Mr. Ernst falls in this trench trough, and we cut to Mr. Lou at the rink. Is that what that's called?
Ring.
The roller rink. We cut to Mr. Lou. What is his name? Captain Lou. At the ring, and he's lifting a weights, and he has a tank top that's black this time, and in red it says blood, and it has blood dripping down it. And oh my god, I want it so bad.
So good.
And
he has like an effigy of Mr. Ernst. Mm-hmm. He rips the head off of it, throws it.
Yeah.
At him. He's a mean guy.
It's really harsh. Yeah, Mr. Ernst is trying to let him know that the masked marauder isn't coming and that he's going to take his place. Then that's when Captain Lou decapitates this effigy. For some reason.
I thought that Sam would laugh a lot more at this episode, but I think he was just like, huh? Just like, he was staring at the TV a little bit like wide-eyed and open-mouthed. Just like,
huh. How did they get away with this, as my sister asked. Then it's time for wrestling.
Nighttime is the right time to wrestle.
For Christopher Lee Wilkin, the referee, to do his thing, who is not, in fact, Jake, dressed in a tie.
I thought it was Bob Costas.
Neither of them.
Nope. It was this other guy.
Christopher Lee Wilkin.
He's announcing, and there's a crowd, and they're cheering. And mm-hmm. the guys come out to wrestle, and Mr. Ernst, I hate it.
Yep, Mr. Ernst. I feel like there was some scene. Somebody was talking about this episode and saying how inappropriate it was for Mr. Ernst to be wearing a unitard, and that's why they made him put shorts over it. Because him running around with teenagers. Oh, did I make that up?
I don't know, but I am glad he put shorts over the top.
Yeah, oh my god, I'm so grateful.
You just made me realize it's also kind of inappropriate that this man sent his leotard, right? Ahead of time, basically. And Mr. Ernst put it on. This is another man's intimate apparel.
Yeah.
Hope he washes it afterwards.
That would be the polite thing.
Yes.
Not certainly. That he's got enough time to get it dry cleaned or whatever. The neck is so wide.
It's
and he's got his arms stuffed with like t-shirts or something that they look probably. Muscles.
Yeah. It's got a low back.
It's got a really low back.
I hate it. Also, I should mention the announcer said that Mr. Ernst is from Brooklyn.
I remember that also.
So, but the whole team here, his crew of Jake and Danny and Melody and Buddy, they've all got their Masked Marauder sports fan apparel on.
Yep.
And I just had to mention, they sure can get sports gear in short order on this ranch.
Gosh, yeah. He has a real hookup at the printers.
He has to have his own screen printer. That's the only way.
Yeah, like on call.
Mm-hmm. But I meant like the machine. He must have one.
like
the on call.
A screen printer man.
Screen printer man. And for some reason, I wrote sports jeans with an exclamation point.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Captain Lou is wearing sporting jeans.
Yeah. That's right.
And a Hawaiian shirt to this event.
I don't know if, again, I guess I just didn't know the versatility of jeans.
Yeah.
As athletic apparel, but I've learned a lot from this show.
I would like to tell you that I did a little detour. There's a fan who is yelling, who's not credited, but on IMDb, he's on there, and his name is Zach Selwyn.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a Sklar Brothers video called The Dreidel Masters that I ended up watching. It was like a little 2-minute short. And I love the Sklar Brothers, and it was very funny. And I would just like to give that fan a shout out.
Shout out, fan.
He's done so many things, but and this is definitely like the a very obscure credit of his.
That is very obscure. Can we just say that Mr. Ernst is getting the daylights beaten out of him here?
Oh, I guess that is, we should describe the wrestling part of the show.
It's fine.
It goes on.
It's very long, and he's getting pounded on, and my son says, kick him in the butt.
Which and he does. Very
funny. He likes to say butt. He does kick him in the butt. He kicks him everywhere. He kicks him so much.
But the Masked Marauder stumbles around until he falls on top of Captain Lou and kills him.
Yeah, I guess he bonked his head or something. And the Masked Marauder kind of on accident wins this thing.
He wins the day.
I think... And I wrote Bob Costas because that's who I thought it was, but it turns out it wasn't. I said, I think Bob Costas should shut this down at a certain point because Mr. Ernst looked like he was about to totally beef it.
Yeah.
We didn't even mention that he was starting to get brain damage and thought he was a little boy again.
Oh, yeah. That part really creeped me out. I don't like it when that is that a real thing?
I don't know. But Jake had to pretend that he was his mom and shout to him to do things.
He shouted at him, tie your shoes. So he leaned over and tied it. And that's when Captain Lou tripped over him.
Yeah, I think that's where I got the biggest laugh yet out of my son. Physical, this slapstick. Slapstick is something that five-year-olds like, generally speaking.
Do you like it?
No, and I didn't back then either.
No, me neither ever till today.
No. Well, if you recall, my favorite movie was the Oliver Sacks story, Awakenings.
Yes, I not had a lot forgotten.
Of, not a lot of slapstick in that one.
I love that about you so much.
Did you ever like slapstick stuff?
No.
No, I didn't think you would. I don't think you would have had a lot of exposure to it with your parents.
No, we were just watching Amadeus.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a Laserdisc player.
Oh, that is so cool. First Laserdisc I ever watched was A River Runs Through It.
Nice.
It's a good movie. It was on two discs.
They usually were. It was very disruptive.
It was so dumb. Okay. He wins, and that's great news, even though it was very uncomfortable to watch. And I felt bad for Buddy.
Yeah, watching that would have been really hard to see.
Yes. Nobody wants to see that.
Mm-mm.
But thankfully, he is okay. He's alive. Next scene, we know it because it's the next day, and he's got that neck brace on again that we have seen previously. And some crutches in the corner. It was just a bad day.
Yeah, Buddy won. Oh, gosh, he fell down.
Well, and then there's a really good Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess Jake signed him up to wrestle more. I think that's how it ended. It was successful. Mr. Ernst won. They got the money they needed. And then...
Who sent him the fish, though?
I thought that was just a regular old prop.
No, somebody sent him that fish.
As an award?
Yeah, probably with the pen.
Okay, so Captain Lou sent him the fish.
I see, okay.
Mm-hmm. And he's on the phone. He's like, I don't think I want to wrestle again. What do you mean? My manager said. And then we find out that Jake has been signing him up for more wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
With a Samoan tag team.
Yeah. And then Mr. Ernst falls down about it.
All right. Now, here's my favorite thing, because now we get to the credits. And earlier on in my notes, I was like, wow, who is the stuntman? And I found out the stuntman is Ron Nix Sr. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, that is because his son, Ron Nix Jr., is a key grip on the show.
Oh!
Or excuse me, he's a dolly grip.
He's a dolly grip.
Yeah. So, father and son working together, making some great freaking television.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah. So, Ron Nix Sr., Ron Nix Jr., way to go. They've done, gone on, both of them have done some other pretty cool stuff in the biz.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun to be this, because Ron Nix Jr. clearly worked on this show, you know, regularly. And then they're like, we need a stuntman to be a middle-aged guy.
Yeah.
Who's bad at wrestling and be like, you know what? I could call my dad. He could come down here. That's kind of fun, right?
I like it. Thank you for that tidbit.
You're welcome. Well, Jess, it was fine.
Yeah.
Well, how many horseshoes do you give it?
Oh, geez. Will you go first?
Yes, but I have no idea what I'm going to say. I think I'm going to give it 6. That's what my heart says. This is a 6.
That was the first number to come into my head, and I'm not going to argue with it.
Okay, put it on the board.
6s all around the boards.
We have a board now.
Have you been keeping track, listener? Because it would be cool if you could email us at yaydudecast@gmail.com. So we didn't. We're going to have to go through and figure out what our rankings are.
We need to do a couple of things here before we close this one out. Yeah. Number one, okay. Before we speculate on where our friend Joe Torres is, I do want to talk about a couple of things. Okay. One, you mentioned our email address.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say thank you to Louisa for sending us the most incredible, ridiculous website.
It's so wonderful.
It's the roommate's official website. It is very 1990. It's hot pink with lime green and blue text. It's all text. There's nothing else. And it's impossible to read. It's great. And there's all sorts of cool links to other things on the page. And so I asked her to tell me about it. And it sounds like there's all these Hey Dude themed things on it.
Yeah.
She said, I came up in Riot Girl punk scenes in the 90s. My sister and I ran a DIY cassette label and played in lots of bands. And the roommates were an anonymous band. And then in parentheses, quote, band, question mark. We released on our label, whose, quote, members were all characters from Sweet Valley High and Hey Dude.
And I love it so much.
The songs largely existed in those universes, along with 90210 and Babysitter's Club content. It was batshit.
It's so, so perfect. Louisa, I love you in your mind, Louisa. I hope you're still having as much fun.
It's amazing. There's a discography. Oh my God. It's so good. I can't even. Oh, it was the Ask Mr. Ernst. There's a whole page.
Yes.
Like a Q&A with Mr. Ernst. And it's lovely. Anyway, thank you, Louisa. This is too fun. I should say Louisa emailed us at yaydudecast@gmail.com. You can do the same thing. You can also find us on Instagram at YayDudeCast, but you cannot find us on Facebook, and we don't know why.
If you've got any ties to Facebook, if you could just let them know that we're not. So I created a Facebook account
for two purposes. One, to co-admin our page, and two, to be in a special whale watching group that I've been told about, but I'm not allowed in the group. And I think maybe my new account and like one friend on Facebook may have triggered the whole system to think that we are fraudulent. That's my theory.
My theory is that they think that we think that we're the Hey Dude brand shoes. I don't know, but we got put in Facebook jail and we can't seem to get out of it. And you know what? At this point, like, we're probably just going to not even worry about the Facebook thing anymore. So yeah, find us on Instagram, I guess.
Yeah. It is some fun times on the internet.
I tried to appeal it again, and I wrote this whole paragraph explaining myself, and then I click send, and it's like, oops, you can't send to this right now. Oh, it just, it won't let me do anything.
I'm sorry, Fran.
It's fine. It's fine. But if you're a Facebook, if you are Mark Zuckerberg and you have a...
Oh my God, wouldn't that be wild?
You know,
speaking of getting ready for wrestling matches.
Oh my God. He's not going to do it, is he?
I don't know what this world is.
I don't know either. Yeah. Wouldn't be our first celebrity listener, though.
That's for true.
Okay, so that said, Jess, where do you think Joe Torres is?
I mean, I'm just saying the Masked Marauder could be anybody.
That's true.
Like, he could have a gold sequined face mask and nobody would know the wiser. Mm. Oh, you know what's especially wrong with this face mask is that the nose, you can see the nose.
Oh, that is weird, right? Well, I guess he's got to be able to put his glasses on.
So weird.
It's bad. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you think he is the Masked Marauder?
Yeah, that's what I think. What do you think?
Okay, I would have agreed with you until all these Facebook shenanigans, because it was shortly after I posted the audio clip of us speculating that Joe Torres got whisked up in a tornado.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden it was like, now you're shut down. And it does make me wonder if Joe Torres, if we got too close.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my God, that makes so much sense, dude. Like,
and so I'm going to double down on the tornado. Except it's like...
Okay, why do you think that it was the tornado and not the secret baseball team?
You're right.
Because I feel like the secret baseball team is much more...
likely to...
Yeah, like close to the truth. Like, whose secret baseball team?
All right. Well, you know, either one of those things. I can't be sure which one of those, but I can be pretty sure that it's one of them, because why else would our Facebook page have gotten shut down like immediately after?
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It actually does.
Well, we hope you're well, Joe Torres.
And we do.
I don't know. What if Joe Torres got us shut down?
That's what I think.
Oh, I thought the government got us shut down because we were too close to the secret baseball team. You think Joe Torres?
I think Joe Torres shut us down.
Oh.
But you know what? I don't think it's just tricky. It's tricky because
it's so tricky.
At what point does Joe Torres end and the government begins, you know? So
good point.
All I know is I think, just watch your back, Jess. Like, I feel like we started getting into something a little dangerous here.
But you know what? I'll hold on to this podcast till my dying day.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I mean, I guess I do hope you're okay, Joe Torres, but like,
I would never wish you anything but well.
But also, like, chill out, man.
Yeah.
Let us have our Facebook page. There's only, like, 100 followers.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, everybody.
And I'm super excited. Thank you, Trough Lord. I think we're at 5.5 now.
I think so.
That officially puts us at the halfway mark.
Oh, I love it. Congratulations, everybody.
Thank you. We still have so much Ted in our future, too. So I think we might make it.
I'm feeling hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you.
This show makes me feel hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I love you, too.
Cool.
And scene. I guess, do we say bye for now?
I love you. Bye for now. Thank you.